miraculous spiritual gifts. What are they? Are they still being worked today? We want to consider this question today on The Bible Says as we continue this series of lessons on the Holy Spirit and His work.
I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will tell all of thy wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exult in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O Most High.
This is The Bible Says with Mike Hughes, author, speaker, and evangelist for the Spring Hill Church of Christ, Spring Hill, Louisiana.
Wonderful deeds, I will be glad and exalt in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O Most High.
Make sure you download the note card for today's lesson by going to our website, michaelrhughes.com. Once you're there, click on Sermons, which you'll see right below the photo of the Bible. Next, scroll down until you see the list of lessons and choose this lesson. To the right of the lesson, click Listen. Finally, at the bottom of the audio player, click Details, and then click the lesson title beneath the player and download the note card. Now, let's join Mike with today's message.
Holy Spirit, things that we can be certain should not be. Profess miracles. Profess divine revelation. Profess spiritual contacts and direct faith. Profess direct leading. Where do we get the source of our information about the Holy Spirit? We've talked about this in previous lessons in this series. We talked about uninspired sources versus inspired sources. The Scripture, as we pointed out in this series, is the inspired source of valid, objective information about any Bible subject like the Holy Spirit and His work. Jesus said in John 14, verse 26, concerning the Holy Spirit, He says, "The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." In John 15, 26, "When the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of me." John 16 and verse 12, He said, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come." So we see that the Holy Spirit has an office of revelation, has an office of teaching, and an office of reminding them of things that Jesus had taught them, revealing to them things that they could not bear to hear now, but would have the maturity later to be able to hear. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 2, "For the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." And we understand that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Verse 17, "that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished to every good work." The Scripture furnishes us everything we need. We've already seen that we do not need a revelation from the Holy Spirit today. Matter of fact, 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, "As His divine power," that is His Holy Spirit, "has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue." Then Jude, the brother of Jesus, writes in Jude 3, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith," watch this now, "which was once for all delivered to the saints." So today, our only reliable source of information is the inspired Word of God, the Holy Scripture. The Holy Spirit has revealed all the truth about Himself that we can know. We've seen this chart before. We've seen the Holy Spirit's work in creation, how God planned it, how the Son executed, how the Holy Spirit organized creation. Same goes in the church. God planted it. It was in the mind of God. The Son executed it, and the Holy Spirit gave it its miraculous beginning in Acts chapter 2. So the source of inspired information is the Holy Spirit. So we must examine what the Holy Spirit has said about Himself. Many misunderstand the working of the Holy Spirit. Thus, in this lesson, we want to look at miraculous spiritual gifts. And so we understand, as we've seen before, that the Holy Spirit organized. How? By revealing the new covenant. By confirming the new covenant, and we're going to study next week about by convicting men through the new covenant, converting them through the new covenant, sanctifying them through the new covenant. We're going to see all that next week. We'll see that. But for now, let's notice the New Testament. The words of the apostles in revealing the word. He says in Ephesians 3 and in verse 3, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation. I have written it. He wrote it down. He said, when you read, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to His holy apostles and prophets out by the Spirit. The mysteries of the Old Testament are revealed in the New Testament. We do not need to interpret the New Testament. We simply need to believe it. Revelation means to make known that which was hidden, the mystery. That which was previously hidden was made known to Paul. That which was made known to Paul, he wrote down. That which Paul wrote down, the Ephesians could understand when they read, and these things had not been previously revealed. But now it is revealed to His holy apostles and prophets. The New Testament, the covenant, is the inspired Word of God given to man by Christ Jesus through the agency of the Holy Spirit through the apostles' writings. Now, what about these spiritual gifts that we want to talk about today? Well, we find them cataloged in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and in verse 8. Notice, for to one is given the spirit of utterance of wisdom. There's one. To another, the utterance of knowledge. There's two, according to the same Spirit. To another, faith. There's three, by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing. Number four, by the one Spirit. To another, number five, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. There's six. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. There's seven. To another, various kinds of tongues, there's eight, and here comes number nine, the last one. To another, the interpretation of tongues. There's the spiritual gifts. He says, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. The people that had this power had one of these gifts. Now, what were the gifts? We find they were split into three categories. Intellectual, exhibition, that is showing forth, and language. Intellectual, the word of wisdom, that is insight into the true nature of things. The word of knowledge, that is the ability to know, to store, to recall spiritual truths. And faith, that is special faith involved in the working of miracles, not subjective faith that every Christian must have. Not of doctrines, but of miracles. Confidence in God by the impulse of His Spirit that He would enable them to perform any required miracle. And then we have the exhibition of miraculous faith. Healings, plural, referring to different kinds of diseases which need different kinds of healing. Miracles, again, plural. Those here meant must be referred to miracles of a special and extraordinary power. So the Greek for miracles means, for example, healings might be affected by human skill in course of time, but the raising of the dead, the affliction of death by a word, the use of poisons, etc., are miracles of special power. Prophecy. The prophet was one who, under divine impulse, spoke words given by the Holy Spirit. Here, probably not in the wider sense of public teaching by the Spirit, but as its position between miracles and a discerning spirit implies. The inspired disclosure of the future. Then discerning spirit, that is the power of reading hearts and determining whether men spoke by the divine spirit or some other impulse. Then miraculous use of language. Various kinds of tongues. That's saying he spoke with tongues. He spoke languages that he had never learned, he had never studied. And then interpretation, that is the ability to explain the meaning of those who spoke with tongues. And this is how Paul delineated them. These gifts are called spiritual, pneumatitos, implying that which is of the Spirit and not natural. They all come from one and the same Spirit, according to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11, we just read. These spiritual gifts were visible, audible evidences of the Spirit's influence. Now, not all Christians had these spiritual gifts. Some may have had no such gift at all. Not all could speak in tongues. Some were even ungifted, uninformed, as the New King James called it. Possession of these spiritual gifts did not ensure spiritual maturity. The brethren at Corinth came short of no gift, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4 through 7, yet they were noted for being carnal and babes, 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 through 4. These spiritual gifts could be abused but also controlled. Used for personal benefit contrary to their purpose. Used improperly to the shame of a congregation. 1 Corinthians 14, 23 points that out. Used properly to edify all. 1 Corinthians 14, 26 through 32 points out that's what they needed to be used for. We talked last week how these gifts were received. We find directly there's only two occasions. The apostles on the day of Pentecost. We find that when it fully came, that there came from heaven a sound of a mighty rushing wind. It filled the entire house where they were sitting. And how did it appear? As divided tongues, as a fire appeared to them, rested on each of them, And what's it say next? They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Then in Acts chapter 10, verse 44, while Peter was speaking, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word, fell on the Gentiles in this case. The believers from among the circumcised, these Jews that were with Peter, they were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out on the Gentiles. They were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. And so to show them that the gospel could now be preached to the Gentiles, the Holy Spirit fell on the Gentiles. And then we see the apostles, all other times, the laying on in the apostles' hands. To the Samaritans, Acts chapter 8 and verse 14, the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God. They sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for he had not yet fallen on any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them. They received the Holy Spirit. And now when Simon saw that the Spirit was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money, saying, "Give me this power also, so that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." And then the Ephesians, Acts 19, verse 6, when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them. And then we see the Romans. Romans chapter 1 and verse 11. He said, "I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift." Paul wanted to lay hands on them and impart spiritual gifts to them. Timothy, 2 Timothy 1 verse 6. Paul said, "I remind you to fan into the flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." Paul had laid his hands on Timothy. Now, what was the purpose of these spiritual gifts? They confirm both the messenger and the message. Notice, if you will, Mark chapter 16, verse 20. They went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the messages by accompanying signs. Now, we've had this passage up before, but notice Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. "Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we heard," this is New Testament now, listen, "lest we drift away, for since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable," that's from the Old Testament, "and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such great salvation? It was declared first by the Lord," in the New Testament, "and it was attested to us by those who heard," in the New Testament, "while God also wore by signs," in the New Testament, "and wonders and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will," New Testament times. So the purpose of these gifts in the Old Testament, here's where we find these gifts used. Exodus chapter 4, we find that Moses' rod would be turned to a serpent to show people that he was speaking words from God. In 28, verse 28, Aaron is shown this by Moses to show that, yes, he does have a message from God. And so when they got into Pharaoh, we find that the rod was used, Aaron's rod was used in this way to show that the message, to show Pharaoh that the message was from God. Of course, his magicians did the same type of miracle, but we find Aaron's rod ate the serpents of the magicians. Numbers 16, we find that "The Lord has sent me to do all these works," Moses said, "for I have done none of my own." And he talks about if these men die naturally, like all men, they're visited by common fate, but the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord creates a new thing, the earth opens and its mouth swallows them up. Here again, spiritually done. Deuteronomy 4:32, we find things spiritually done. We find the Jordan River parted, something miraculously done in the Old Testament. So in the Old Testament, it confirmed the messenger and the message being presented was from God, which, of course, led to Jesus. Everything in the Old Testament leads to the coming of the Messiah. And then when we get over to the New Testament, we have the working there in various passages, as we've shown on this chart, that these things confirm the messenger and the message. That was the purpose of these spiritual gifts. Now, John chapter 20 and verse 30 that we've quoted many times at the end of our lessons, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of disciples which are not written in this book. Now, were these done for show? No. These are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. So, they confirmed the message of others in the New Testament. And over we see that in these passages. Well, what's the purpose of these gifts? We see some gifts reveal God's will. We talk about the wisdom, prophecy reveals God's will to man. Other gifts confirm God's will. Tongues, miracles confirm that this message was from God. And gifts were of little value unless truth was being revealed. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 16. But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying or teaching? Just for show, it's not going to profit you anything. And in prophecy, more highly regarded is to be more highly regarded than tongues. Remember, they were fussing about this. He said, I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church, what's the purpose? That the church may receive edification. Now, we talked about last week how it's limited in duration. The purpose of revelation and confirmation, we said last week, is limited. We notice the till in this passage. Notice that he tells them here, till. Well, here's the till. Till all reach the unity of the faith. Till all have come to the unity of the faith of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Till they come to a knowledge of the Son of Man. Till they become a perfect man. We know that the Scripture, all Scripture, is given by the inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished to every good work. We have the Word of God today. We don't need the spiritual gifts for that. Until they become a measure of Christ. And again, we talked this passage last week, limited in duration, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8. Love never fails, for as prophecies they will pass away, tongues will cease, knowledge will pass away, for we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when the perfect is come, the partial will pass away. So tongues will fail, will cease, prophecies will fail, knowledge will pass away, miraculous spiritual gifts would end. We see that. Limited in their duration. Notice he said, for we know in part, we prophesy in part, but, there's the but, when the perfect comes, the partial shall be done away with. We know what that which was in part was. Ek meros, the spiritual gifts God used to reveal his will. Prophecy, tongues, knowledge, those nine gifts that we listed a few minutes ago, as well as the signs used to confirm that revelation. Therefore, we can know what that which is perfect, the completed, perfected revelation of God's will to man, the Bible, the Word of God. Spiritual gifts were important in the establishment and organization of the New Testament church, provided a full and final revelation of God's word, confirmed both messenger and message, yet spiritual gifts, the miraculous manifestation of the Spirit, were simply a means to an end, and they did end. Notice that. They ended. And so, how did the Spirit work? These spiritual gifts were used in revealing the new covenant, confirming the new covenant. The Holy Spirit worked directly convicting men through the new covenant. By converting men today, he works in through the new covenant in converting them, by sanctifying them, teaching them how to live, how they ought to live. That's revealed in the new covenant. He revealed that, used these spiritual gifts in revealing of the new covenant to man. The Holy Spirit continues his work today through the new covenant. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28. He says there, God has appointed to the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administering in various kinds of tongues. This is what was going on in the New Testament. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? He asked. Apostles' age, this enabled the speaker to communicate in languages he didn't learn, guided them in the execution of penalties on the wicked, protected them from such things as poisonous serpents, enabled them to foretell future events, and empowered them to raise the dead, to heal all manners of diseases. And why is that? Why did all that happen? To confirm the messenger and the message he was presenting. That was the purpose of spiritual gifts. Now, what must I do to be saved today? Well, must hear the gospel. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You'll know the truth. The truth will set you free. It is written in the prophets, they'll all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Acts 15:7. After there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said, brothers, you know that in early days God made a choice among you that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the gospel and believe. Which leads us to Hebrews 11, verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For whoever comes to God must believe that he is. He's the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. These things are written that you may believe, John said, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. John 8:24, Jesus said, I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. And then repent. Jesus said, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Times of this ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. And we find 2 Peter 3:9 that we're to repent. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 10. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Jesus says, I tell you, everyone who acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man also will acknowledge him before angels in heaven. Paul told Timothy, fight the good fight of faith, take hold of eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Will you make the good confession? For as many as you as were baptized into Christ, Galatians 3:27, have put on Christ. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Gift of the Holy Spirit, salvation. He's revealed it through the Word. And then we find baptism is burial. Having been buried with him in baptism, to which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. Then endure to the end. You'll be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. Do not fear what you're about to suffer, Jesus said. Behold, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested. For 10 days have tribulation, be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Then he says, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing this, that your labor is not in vain.
This has been The Bible Says with author, speaker, and evangelist Mike Hughes for the Spring Hill Church of Christ, meeting at 405 Butler Street in Spring Hill, Louisiana.
You wash your sins away, then walk in His light upon your heavenly way.
We offer numerous resources on our website at michaelrhughes.com. M-I-K-E-A-L, MichaelRHughes.com. There you'll find tracts, workbooks, and past sermons to help you in your spiritual growth in Christ. If you're in the Spring Hill area, we invite you to our service on Sunday at 9:45 for Bible class, 10:35 for morning worship, and again at 6 p.m. for evening worship. Wednesday, we meet at 6:30 p.m. for our midweek Bible study. We invite you to subscribe to our email list to be notified of new material added to our website by writing to macmichael@me.com.